It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
This is our fourth study in personal evangelism, and I would title this, Aloud of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Well, some representatives of local churches say the following. Of course we are evangelistic. We have a vision statement that emphasizes evangelism. We have small groups and our pastor preaches the gospel every Sunday. Well, that's all well and good, but slogans, structures, and sermons do not make a church intentionally evangelistic. Rather, they often create the facade or the appearance of intentional evangelism, deceiving leaders and laity into believing that the church has a specific plan to actively engage in personal evangelism. Although it may walk, talk, and look like a horse, it may be merely a man in a horse suit. Remember what evangelism is. In short, evangelism is the spreading of the gospel. Remember what personal evangelism is. In short, personal evangelism is proclaiming, spreading the gospel personally. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42 says, "And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Well, who is to spread the gospel? Representatives of Christ, saved people, ambassadors for Christ, are to spread the gospel. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." 2 Corinthians 5:20. Men who are saved, called of God to be evangelists, are also responsible for spreading the gospel. Now, that may seem odd to you that they are responsible. They are responsible for personal evangelism as well. Well, there are four basic approaches, four evangelistic approaches. We've talked about this. First, there's lifestyle evangelism. You cannot depend on your flesh to get the job done. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Well, lifestyle evangelism is not biblical evangelism. It's only a means to possible evangelism. Now, this means the method uses a highly passive approach. In other words, it's good to have a good testimony and be righteous before your neighbors, friends, and family, but that's not going to do the job. It must be Jesus Christ who does the job. It must be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's also something called servant evangelism. Well, this approach many times is a result of limited training about personal evangelism. Servant evangelism is not a personal evangelism. Event evangelism. Well, with the event, whatever it might be, most Christians do not have to evangelize, nor choose to evangelize. This approach often builds name identification for the church or group, but it does very little for the gospel. Event evangelism can also be very expensive. And then we have what's called neighborhood evangelism. And if this is not done properly, neighborhood evangelism often becomes more about church promotion and visiting new members rather than proclaiming the gospel. Personal. Let's look at that. The subject of being personal. We'll be seeing a review of four evangelistic approaches. Now I would like for us to look at two more evangelistic approaches. First, tract evangelism. Well, tract evangelism uses gospel tracts to present the gospel. And there are different ways to use tracts. Now, let's look at three ways to use tracts. First, take someone through the tract, using it as a visual aid. In other words, you have a good gospel tract that tells people how to be saved, and you go through it with them. And then we see that sharing the gospel, you share the gospel, and then giving the person a tract for further consideration. Not only use it to show them how to be saved, but let them have the tract. And then, once again, leaving the tract for someone without a personal conversation. In other words, this would be handing someone a gospel tract. Well, there are strengths in doing this, and giving out a tract is one of the most simple and versatile methods of personal evangelism. Tracts are ideal for situations where a conversation is not possible. For example, a busy store cashier, or a passerby, or waiter or waitress could be given a tract to read later. And a tract can be a great conversation starter. Well, those are strengths, but what about a weakness? There are weaknesses to this. Tracts can become substitutes to avoid personally witnessing to others. In other words, use that as an excuse. Well, I'm going to give a tract. I don't have to say a word. Well, some tracts are wordy and as a result may not be read. And I would say this, that some tracts are not printed large enough for older folks to be able to read them. So we must present tracts that are suitable for the person we're presenting them to. That means you need to have different tracts with you at all times in order to be able to reach the people that you come into contact with. People are different. Well, there's a final analysis here, and let's look at that. When it comes to personal evangelism, tracts are one of the best tools available, as long as they are scripture-based. And then some people aren't sure how to explain the gospel, and the tract addresses that uncertainty. And then a tract can be left with a person to read through later. We talked about that. It's something good that a person would be able to, after maybe they've worked in a store all day and they've been a cashier or whatever, and they take time to sit down and they start rummaging through their pockets and they say, "What is this?" And they put, and it's the tract. And they read it, and prayerfully they get saved. Because the person who is using personal evangelism, using a tract, that person has thought enough to leave that tract with that individual so that one day, prayerfully, that person who gets that tract will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, there's such a thing known as conversational evangelism. Then we might also call this relational evangelism. Now, some may distinguish between conversational and relational. Conversational evangelism is starting a conversation for the purpose of sharing the gospel. Relational evangelism is seeking to relate to the person, looking for permission, in other words, an open door, to discuss spiritual matters. See, while these two approaches may be somewhat different, their general approach is the same, sharing the gospel during a normal conversation. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then we read in John chapter 4, verses 3 through 14. It says, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Now this is speaking of Christ. Verse 5 continues, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Now he's starting a conversation here. Verse 8 goes on to say, "For his disciples were gone away into the city, or unto the city, to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of the water, this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." Well, we see here that Jesus started a conversation, and if you keep reading, you'll find out that this woman got saved. She received Jesus Christ. She received the living water. She trusted him. He was using an approach, evangelism. He was using conversational evangelism. Conversational evangelism is a method often used by Jesus. And conversational evangelism involves finding ways to, and in normal everyday conversations, to share the gospel with someone else. This can occur in many places, sporting events, and maybe even over coffee on an airplane, park bench, at home, at church, walking with someone, or even talking on the telephone. I've actually used this when a telemarketer calls, and I will use that to witness to that individual. That person calls me and starts a conversation. Well, I keep up the conversation by telling them about Jesus Christ. Well, there's strengths to conversational evangelism. It's personal evangelism. And then it's evangelism that can occur anywhere at any time with any person. There is a variety of tools that can be used, tracts and the Bible and so forth. It doesn't require a schedule, only willingness to give out the gospel. It can be done by any saved person. It's a method used by Peter and the disciples, and it involves going out and sharing. We must go out and share. It must be something that we do purposely, going out. Well, there are weaknesses to this, and it can be intimidating to some. Some people are intimidated by starting a conversation about Jesus, and it's often misunderstood. Some think it requires a special gift. Well, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what is the final analysis of this conversational evangelism? Well, it's probably the least common method of evangelism, but it is highly recommended. I recommend this. A conversation could be started with any number of subjects, such as the weather, health, the heart. And many times, if I'm in a waiting room in a hospital or someplace, someone would ask me, "What do I do for a living?" I'll say, "I'm a heart doctor." And that gets their attention. And then I'm able to say, I tell people how they can have a new heart by trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's many ways that we can serve God and give out the gospel and get it done. And you need to be busy for the Lord. You've trusted him as Savior. Now help someone else trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.